Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, look, so here's what happened. First of all, we're very, very sorry. Dave, and I do feel like this is really on Dave, let Hing DM an entire show. The first half of the show, the second half of the show, all of it was DM'd by Michael Hing. There's no different Michael Hing. It's the one that you're thinking of. So that's what you're about to listen to. You're about to listen to the first half of that show featuring Genevieve Fricker. Of course, if after listening to this you'd like to support the show for whatever reason, you can head to www.patreon.com/dragonfriends, where you can become a Patreon supporter, maybe pledging your money with the condition that this never happen again. But that's obviously up to you. Okay, here it is.
Funhouse, everything in the universe is quantifiable.
What do you mean by that? Like, if everything is quantifiable but everything contains all the properties of everything, then things that are unquantifiable must also be there. So how do you explain that?
Because
I'm nothing, just trying to understand your world.
Nothing is unquantifiable, Dave.
What's great about that moment is that the people who've never seen it before just think Dave's a shithead.
From the first expansion of matter and energy through space until the last particle of light finally dies away, we are all left in cold, lonely darkness. Everything is just a number. And so Friezo, the bravest and frankly most capable of the Dragon Friends, is now sort of captain of a cruise liner in space, having gooch-punched the previous operator into the gaping maw of a shard.
I wish you were making that up. I mean, you are. We all are.
It's all meaningless. Indeed, there were rumblings among the crew. They say power corrupts, but that is only ever said by the weak. It's the kind of thing someone says 6 months after a friend is promoted at work. It's not really the kind of thing Zeus declares from atop Mount Olympus. So as Friezo's promises of a standardized work day, 8 hours work, 8 hours rest, and 8 hours fucking and sucking, ring out across the Saturnine as it speeds towards Primus, it has become increasingly apparent that this particular High Elf Warlock...
8 hours!
It's the best workout money can buy.
Let me stop!
It has become increasingly apparent that this particular High Elf Warlock does not actually know how to pilot a ship. And now that the shard that powers the ship is fully recharged, Friezo has declared full steam ahead! That is, until one of the lowly Bellowsmen pipes up. Now, Ben, this is your first character for this evening.
Uh-huh.
His name is Bellowsman 1.
Uh-huh. Is this a character that I've done before?
No, it's a new character, but okay. I've declared to me he or she has a librarian's voice.
A librarian's voice.
Look, I don't make the... Oh, I do make the rules. Sick. This is the greatest.
Excuse me, Cardinal Friezofferson.
Any particularly spooky librarians around where you live?
Yeah. The only library in my precinct was in a haunted castle when I was growing up. Are you sure you want to be going this fast? I know you said you were in a rush to get to Primus, but it does feel like full steam ahead is a lot of steam.
Now, Ben, you can choose to play Friezo in this world if you'd like, or I can...
How dare you, fool!
Pretty good Friezo.
I should have you baked into a Viennese loaf. There, tie a brick to the accelerator, then tie that bellowman's foot to the brick. Then take his...
No one can understand you.
Wait a second.
You.
Also, has Hing scripted this entire show for maximum control?
I feel like Dave gives
There's
you all
15
too much
pages here.
Welcome to the reading of the live radio play of my screenplay I've written, guys. The story of one beautiful improvising
podcaster. Is it already St. Smithin's Day? That's right. That's a deep cut.
Basically...
Hing, well, you do you.
Okay.
As always, you do you.
And Bobby, that is the last thing you remember before you wake up.
No, no, hang on. You probably need to say the last
thing. Sorry, yeah, sorry.
They didn't understand it, so yeah.
How dare you, fool? I should have you baked into a Viennese loaf. You there, tie a brick to the accelerator. Then tie that bellowsman's foot to the brick. Then tie his other foot and strap it beneath the brake so he can't brake. Then strap his hands to his own butt, like into his back pocket so he can't undo the straps. That's the scene setting.
Yeah, right.
And Bobby...
Page two,
do
everyone.
Do I just pass out in terror, or...?
And Bobby, that is the last thing you remember before you wake up.
Some notes. No, I'm kidding.
So you have the unshakable sense that this world that you arrive in is in decay. The air is damp, and you are lying on the ground in the cold mud. Can you make a perception check for me, please?
Yeah. That's a hot seven.
Hot seven. Ooh. 1 to 7 is you are alone in the mud. You can't immediately recognize anything around you, but it feels very familiar.
Hello?
Ooh, interesting. He chooses to speak. Suddenly, you hear a voice ring out, and Dave, this is your bit. If you'd like to read your lines.
Wait, am I the only one who doesn't have lines?
What? It's got to be improvised, you know? Oh. It's got to feel live.
This is me?
That's you there. Dave yells out.
Help, help, I'm a sad boy who's scared because I'm weak and pathetic.
You really capture the essence of Dave.
Thank you.
It's me, Dr. Dave Harmon from the Parliament of Harmons. I'm...
Read it!
It's the same... I'm a sad little weak boy who cries for his mummy and... misses his baby bottle. Do I?
All right, there's the last one.
Also, my penis is real crook.
All right. And at that moment, Bobby, you see a terrifying
dark... This is fucked.
You see a terrifying, darkened figure standing over that pitiful and sickly cleric. By the way, Dave, this is your character sheet.
You told me to make a level 6 cleric?
Yep.
Yep, all right.
I was Dr. Dave Harmon from the Parliament of Harmons. The darkened figure is tall and so dark as to almost draw the light around it inward. The only light coming from its body is a sigil across its forehead, a carved X that glows red. Its massive claws are pressed up against the new victim's throat, and he utters a truly threatening cry of execution. Now, that's what I want from you.
You want me to play
A truly threatening cry of execution.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about all the voices that Twitter requested today. Mm-hmm. And some of them were Shadow Demon-esque. I think the closest one to Shadow Demon is one Hanna-Barbera property by the name of Huckleberry Hound. So, I'm a Shadow Demon. I'm real angry, like. I'm so furious, I'm a crushed my victim in my little paw.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
Am I the victim?
Yes, you're the victim.
Oh,
you're being
I've
helped.
Got Dave here. Had I known the state of Dave's penis, I would not have picked him up to begin with and let him suffer in a crisis of his own dick's making.
So Simon, now, so what do you want to do?
I was away for a month. What the fuck has happened to this show?
You recognize Dr. Dave Harmon because you met him on the Saturday night.
It's not so dark that I can't see him?
No, it's just the demon is dark.
Oh, okay.
It's a shadow demon, you see.
I grab a glob of mud and hurl it in the demon's eyes. And I say, eat dirt. Mm-hmm. Or more specifically, mud.
Uh-huh.
Of which dirt is a... very large component. The other being water.
You shout all that.
Yeah. I'm discombobulating you.
The demon is suitably distracted by that. So, Dave, that gives you an action. You can do something if you'd like.
I duck out of his claws.
Okay. Okay. So, do you recognize Bobby?
Yeah, I go.
You're gonna make anybody roll for anything? Is it?
No, the demon was distracted. I gave Dave a free action.
Sure.
All right.
This is just a bit like a bankrupt bakery. No rolls.
You can hear their contempt for you.
Also, surely if it'll go out of business because I wasn't selling the rolls, so there'd be a surfeit of rolls.
You don't know the backstory of this bakery.
Wait,
don't I, man?
No, don't. They went out of business because the baker sold the rolls for too cheaply.
Mr. Pancakes, you've regained consciousness. This is just a fragment of your nightmare. We need to destroy it.
Wait, what?
So you guys want to fight the demon?
Yeah, and then I'm going to fucking cast a spell at it.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah, cast a spell. Hang on.
I'm going to cast light because it's a shadow demon.
All right, his armor class is 13.
Yep, so I'm going to dazzle him with light.
All right. I guess is that a saving throw or is that he just gets dazzled?
You're the dungeon master. But if light sensitivity, then I would imagine that it has disadvantage on attack rolls.
While in bright light, the demon has disadvantage on attack rolls. All right, and how bright is this light you're making?
Dazzling.
Don't clap him.
All right, well, he has disadvantage on attack rolls, but he is going to use his claws to attack you, his original prey. So he dashes towards you, and he rolls a 6 and a 1.
A
oh, so one. The 1 is the one that counts.
So
and he misses.
That's a critical fumble.
Yes. he swipes at you, but I guess he just hugs you a bit. That's
and
a
he's
one.
Like, I am not too proud to admit that this was not my original intention.
So now you're being hugged by a shadow demon.
But this is nice.
That's not incredibly different to how the scene started, is it?
No, I guess not. But Bobby, it's you're up. What do you want to do?
I'm going to make a dash towards the demon.
You have all your equipment.
I got all my equipment, okay. And with my short sword, I'm going to slash at his Achilles tendon.
All right, do an attack roll. You got to beat 13 as an armor class.
Ooh, I did not beat it.
What's your attack bonus?
Not enough.
Oh, all right. So you slash at his Achilles tendon. I guess you're... What would you, is it a critical fail or just a normal fail?
Oh, it's just a regular fail.
All right, so your dagger... Was it a sword or a dagger?
Short sword.
Your short sword gets lodged in his boot.
Wait, he's wearing boots?
Boots and nothing else.
So it's...
Well, I wouldn't have gone for his fucking ankle if he was wearing boots and nothing else.
Well, so I'm being hugged. I'm being currently hugged by a naked shadow demon wearing boots. Thigh high? How high are these boots?
The boots go up to his penis.
I find that wearing one item of clothing accentuates my nakedness.
Oh, this is fucked. Is it me again?
Yeah, it's you're up.
Oh, all right. I'm going to cast...
I hope people who are drawing the monster are adding boots.
I hope they're accentuating the nakedness. I'm going to cast Guided Bolt on this thing.
Right, just quickly, how crook is the demon's penis?
Yeah.
It's actually perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong with it.
Define a normal penis, just out of interest for me.
Like normal amount of prongs, normal amount of...
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Normal amount of barbs.
Normal amount of barbs. Just normal.
Secreting the normal amount of oil.
Singing a normal tune.
Tune to the B flat and
all right, Guiding Bolt plus 6 and I rolled a 7 plus 6 13.
That's hits.
Yes.
So oh, what kind of damage is that?
That is radiant damage.
Oh, fuck you. I'm
sorry, Hing.
Oh, this guy's vulnerable to radiant damage.
You're not the You realize that as the dungeon master, like, it's not, we're not fighting each other.
Dave, how naive.
That actually explains the past 4 years.
So you've attacked him and you've done radiant damage. Is it double or what happens now?
Is it vulnerable to radiant?
Yeah, it's vulnerable.
Oh, Dave, you just say that it kills him.
24 hit points of damage.
Oh, he's real sick now.
Yeah. Put some clothes on.
I will not.
All right, the Shadow Demon's going to attack again. He's got disadvantage. He rolls three. All right,
and the other one was a 20.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the other one was a 20.
I guess he goes to swipe at you again, and this time I guess he tries to kick you, and one of his very long boots comes off.
Mm-hmm.
And he fails that. So it is up to you again, Bobby.
Where does the boot land?
On his hand.
On his hand?
He like flips it off and he goes, oh.
Foomf.
Yeah.
So do I have more disadvantage now or advantage?
Well,
advantage to kicking.
Yeah, now you can kick with your hands, but you can scratch with your foot. You know how sometimes when you're real itchy and it's down the back of your foot and you try and scratch it with
not,
the other foot?
Because I am not a lemur.
Do you think this is sustainable for two eps? What do you guys reckon? Anyway, Bobby, you're up.
So I'm at pretty close range. I draw my short bow and I fire an arrow right into his belly button.
All right, roll an attack. You got to be 13.
That's a 16. Oh, yep. Right. So I'll do one of these boys. That's a 10 damage.
Oh, shit. All right. He's looking real, real, real bad like.
Oh, he has disadvantage. That's a sneak attack for you.
Okay.
What? I'm sorry that I know the fucking rules.
I don't think anyone's here for the rules, Jay. All right, so does that more damage than if it's a sneak attack? Double damage?
3d6.
3d6. What?
Ooh.
That's another one. Yep. Is that and another six.
Oh, he's not well.
Oh. And, oh, is that piercing damage?
Yes.
Oh, I'm resistant to it.
Oh.
All right, let's just leave it at that. All okay. Right, so he's real crook. Dave, you can...
You're losing control, Hing.
Well...
It's so early.
It's your turn, Dave. Now, at this point, I feel like the Shadow Demon would probably ask for his life to be spared.
I just want to say that I think we got all on, just like my boot here, on the wrong foot. Just a little Shadow Demon humor for y'all. I just want to say, lovely to meet you. I don't think I said this, but my name is Brett.
This is my turn?
Yeah, so Dave, you can choose now.
These are nightmares from the Shaded Plane of Carcosa. They speak only lies, guiding bolt.
Oh, no!
And 15.
All right. Yeah. He's dead.
Hang on. 6, 5, 11, another 26 damage.
26 will definitely kill him and then kill him one more
some
time.
More. So do you have some last words for Brett? What does he declare as he leaves this plane?
He's like, I have a case of the vipers.
Because I am one.
Yeah.
I quickly dash in and grab my sword that's stuck into his boot.
Excellent. So you see his outer limbs crumble away, then his eyes depress into his skull. His skin peels away from his face and his flesh melts down to the agonized skeletal frame.
Hate when my flesh peels away to my agonized skeletal frame is actually his last words.
Okay. leaving nothing but the demon's heart, purple in colour, still beating.
Can't help but feeling that there was something important you wanted that character to say and that I've killed him too quickly and then Ben has wasted his last words and then explicitly named them that, so there's nothing you can do about it.
True. I mean, look, was there some exposition I was going to get the demon to do? Sure. But it's fine.
This feels like? You know that moment in Watchmen when that guy's like, I'm not locked in here with you?
It's fair. Yes.
So, I know his name's Rorschach. I don't need to...
So all that remains is the demon's heart, purple in colour, still beating, and marked with that same glowing red X. And Bobby, can you roll a perception check for me again?
Yep, that's 11.
Okay, cool. You beat 10. So you can you see a glint of something in the mud, which you can choose if you'd like to go and investigate it, or you can just walk away. Now, look.
Don't, it's a fucking trap.
It's not a trap. Look, or maybe it is. No, you need to choose. But look, I've not changed it. That's what it is. So you can... Dave, this is...
I feel like you haven't had
don't
many...
Don't involve me!
I feel like you haven't had many... You haven't had many wins so far, Hing, so I'm going to go and inspect it.
Okay. You pick it up, and it is a telekinesis ring.
Ooh.
Which gives you the power. See? I am kind. Giving the little characters some sweets. So you get a telekinesis ring, which allows you to move something of, I think it's 10,000 pounds.
Whoa.
What?
1,000 pounds? 1,000 pounds. We'll say 1,000 pounds.
Do you know what a pound is?
It's a British currency. Now,
something, anything worth 1,000 pounds, you can live.
Yes. And it has three charges, okay? So you have that.
Yeah, great.
Now, at this point, you have time to
chat. Can someone tell me how many kilograms 1,000 pounds is?
450.
Right. I love our audience.
But if it's only three charges, so it's three charges, and then it decays.
Can I use all three together to lift one 3,000
pounds? We'll see when we get there. We'll make you roll for it.
And that's how this works. Because logic would dictate.
I don't know how physics works, so I'll let you roll. I'll let you roll to decide the.
If only there was some way to know whether or not like actions multiply to have equal reaction.
Anyway, so you have some time to chat to Dr. Dave now, if you'd like.
Yeah, great.
Are you okay? Are you hurt?
Yeah. Why is there mud in the ship?
The first thing you need to realize is that nothing here is real.
But it's muddy.
It's not muddy.
We're inside a ship.
Okay, I slap him.
All right. Well, we'll do an attack roll.
No.
Yep. And that.
I rolled a 9.
Yep. That kills him.
Unfortunately,
that does kill him.
It's an eight.
Okay, so that doesn't hit. So that just.
The first thing you need to realize is that nothing here matters. Pass it.
So, do you want to do what he goes on to tell you, or do you want to have a crack at it?
You explained it to me.
Yeah. You've got some scripty script,
yeah,
though.
Okay.
If you'd like to. Don't feel obliged to it.
Let me.
This is Hing's
magnum opus.
Yeah.
Nothing. The thing you need to. This is not real. None of this is real. Your body isn't here. This is only your mind, and the mud and filth that you see is only the wallowing despair of your own injured self. You were terribly injured. When the shard exploded, a piece of it pierced your heart, and you're lucky to still be alive. Shit.
He goes on to tell you, of course, the only thing keeping you alive now is the lupine blood which courses through your veins. As such, your actual physical body is being stored in a moon chamber in the ship's infirmary. But while you're in suspended earth...
Moon chamber!
Yeah, it keeps him all werewolf-like.
Yeah, no.
What?
No, just fantasy's hard.
What do you
want
to... What would you call this?
All right. What would I call it? What would I call it? I would call it the Serena Vault. I would call it the Bay of Phobos. I would call it...
Ooh, Moon Cup.
Oh, very nice.
Well, actually, Moon Chamber in this world is actually a really cool and successful product that was marketed to all kinds of millennials, so whatever.
And the best thing is, it's dishwasher safe.
So while you were in suspended animation, we needed to store your consciousness somewhere, like in a close friend. Luckily, our new cardinal and your best friend, Friezo, volunteered to house your psyche in his own mind. Of course, for some reason... you insisted that I, Dr. Dave Harmon, medical practitioner, improviser, and podcaster, accompany you. So
in this world, the Parliament of Harmons are also podcasters?
Yeah, they have like a D&D podcast. It's terrible and nobody comes.
I'm like these orgies.
Yes. So
imagine the type of person who goes to a live taping of the Parliament of Harmons podcast on the same day that the captain's table orgy is happening.
I go and fuck everyone I know, but instead I'll go watch some improv. Oh, you're real cool. All right. So there's that last thing if you want to bring that up, Dave. Or you can choose that. You can choose to tell them that, or you can hold it to yourself.
However, now that I'm here, I have to say something. I've done this jump many times with many mortally injured passengers, but something doesn't seem right. Normally, I can sort of flit in and out of someone else's consciousness. I'm only appearing here via the hospital computers. But now, I couldn't leave when we were being attacked.
Well, that checks out.
It seems as if there is a powerful magic keeping all kinds of simulacra, memories, and beings trapped in here. It's almost like we're trapped and we can't get out of Friezo's mind.
Way ahead of you.
Look, sometimes people message us and say that there's not enough detail given to the setup, so everyone knows what we're doing now, okay?
Yep.
Good. All right.
Do you want me to do the next page of the exposition, or...?
No, it's fine. It's fine. So you've got your ring.
As just like a floating brain, a floating mind, a consciousness. Can I crawl up into a ball and die now?
You can if you'd like.
Give it a shot.
Do you want to kill yourself?
Roll for it.
I mean, could I? I guess the question is, can I die?
If you die in this world,
in
what happens?
In Friezo's mind, do I die in real life?
The shadow of you that we have made here is the only thing holding your sanity together. If you die, your body will be fine, but your mind will be irretrievably snapped.
So you basically become 100% wolf.
Oh, yeah.
It's like in the Matrix.
And if you do that, Simon, we're going to kick you out of the podcast and we're going to make a dog do it.
I don't know about you guys, but I pay to see that.
And we will get so much more popular.
Hey. In fact, the dog will look exactly like this.
Oh, he's a little sailor boy dog.
Ben's wearing a very twee t-shirt.
But it's got Simon on it. Anyway. It's a dog with Simon's glasses here, jockeys.
Doc, is there anything that I could do in this world to make my body better?
Your body is being operated on now and will be fine.
Okay.
But the issue is you guys are trapped here. Trapped.
Okay,
here.
Okay. Here's another question. If we do get out of this, can I take stuff with me?
Anything that you learn here, we'll travel with you.
You can take knowledge, but not physical objects. Unless, I don't know, unless someone was really nice and let you do it.
All right. So, Doc, one more question.
Yes.
Whereabouts, how do you sort of navigate around somebody's...
Every different subject is different because it depends on your history with your friend and your friend's own mind. So you will be a better guide than me. I can only help you interpret what you see.
And suddenly before, where there was nothing, the ground beneath you has shifted in a dreamlike state and you are now outside a giant wrought iron gate. And behind the gate, you see a big circus tent that has been erected in the middle of a seemingly disused graveyard. Your eyes follow the yellow and red canvas of the tent to its peak of the enclosure where a giant inflatable of Frieza's head sits.
On the front of the gate, it reads, "The work will set you free."
grinning as it stares across the park. And the wrought iron gates shift and null in front of you. Let us appear in the archway. Welcome to Frieza's funhouse.
That sounds fine.
So the earth around you falls away and this is on rails and the only way forward is through the gate.
Shall we? And I offer my arm.
I take your arm.
We skip. Or Bobby skips at least.
So at the entrance to the tent, you see a carnival barker who you, Bobby, immediately recognize as a certain magician. Who showed a lot of promise with his close handwork, despite the fact that he had a truly odious voice and personality. It is Leonard Swift Features. And like the shadow demon you just killed, you notice he too has a glowing red X emblazoned on his forehead.
Step right up to the Frieza's funhouse.
How do you remember that voice? You don't remember any voices.
Just for people who weren't listening in season one, Leonard Swift Features was...
The first episode.
...is an amateur magician who was auditioning for a talent show, who produced a bunch of flowers and was then justifiably murdered by Frieza.
Also, the X is for justifiable murder.
History is written by the victors.
At which point, he woke up here at the carnival. So you guys can ask Leonard stuff, or you can kill him again.
I don't have any... Okay, so I'm just going to... Yep, got it. Do I know them?
Yeah, you would recognize Bobby because he was the last thing you saw before you died.
Do I know I'm dead?
Yeah, you know everything.
Okay, great. Perhaps there's something behind your ear. Is it my... And then nothing comes out. It's like, oh, that's right, I'm dead.
And can I just apologize? Because it really set a precedent for the way the rest of this show went.
Bobby, I don't like the idea of talking to them. I think we should kill them. What do you think?
No. If anything, Frieza would like it if we killed them. I think the only way...
He's your friend, isn't he? Why does that fill you with dread? Where have you trapped me?
Look, friend is a strong word. Colleague is a more accurate word. I think let's suss this out.
So do you have any questions for Leonard?
Leonard, has anyone ever left this place?
Oh, well, some people have, but others are forbidden, I suppose. Even my daring do and escapism cannot let me vanish. I'm so glad he died. imagine this for a while.
He explains to you that the cursed mark on his forehead, glowing
the X,
means that he can never leave this place. And everyone who Frieza has ever killed is trapped here with that mark.
Do people...
Come on, that's cool.
But do people visit who aren't marked?
Well, I don't know. At this point, you
could Am I holding one of...
No, am I?
No, you guys don't have the marks. You guys don't have the marks. So you could leave, I guess.
We leave.
There are a few... like yourselves. For example, the sea hag Daphnil and the paladin Cuck are both known as...
The paladin what?
Isn't that his last name? When you do paladins, do you do first name or last name?
Sir Cuck.
It's the family name. And legend has it that Daphnil, the sea hag, can tell you how to escape because she is the most attuned person to this place.
She's been here longer than any of us.
And he also tells you that... Oh, do you want to do that bit? Oh, that she performs nightly in the Big Top, but the show is over and the paladin Cuck has been locked away for years. But if you don't bear the mark, there's a chance you can escape. Okay. So, I guess...
That was a lot of exposition. You ever thought of a job working for an improv troupe / medical facility?
No, he's talking to you.
Yeah, well, I've always considered myself a bit of a Patch Adams.
What comes out? Just body parts?
Yep. It's like really... It's.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want the layout of the arena?
Yeah, please.
What do you want to see? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you notice there's a Big Top behind the Big Top, sort of the caravans where all the carnival folk live. They're terrible lives.
Describe the carnival folk.
They're mostly their Friezo's victims. Mm. So you have people like, Clive Who is there. There are all the people from outside the Guggenheim who we murdered in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. people who know what they did.
What about people who maybe indirectly died as a result of something that you did?
No, it's got to be pretty direct.
By thy hand.
So do people have because Leonard has a job there?
Yes.
Is he lucky to? Because there are other people it seems like who you killed who don't have a job there. They're like,
and there's an art critic who now works as a carny for a start.
Is there like a Guggenheim art critic who's like, step right up?
No,
Knock over the cans, win a big Garfield.
he runs the game. He's actually the manager of the game section.
Oh, great. We go over there.
What, you want to play some carnival games?
Yeah, no, I want to go. Yeah, I want to go over and speak to this art critic guy.
All right, well,
I'll see you later. You want to? What are you doing?
No, I just feel like you guys should probably go find this. Oh, it's fine. Whatever. All right, do you want to go with Dave?
Yeah, fucking sucks, huh?
I'll go to the caravan and try and meet the sea hag.
Okay, right. And you're going to go to try and play some carnival games.
Yeah, because maybe we might need some tokens or some currencies so that
yeah,
we can...
Yeah,
yeah, all right.
Ooh, okay. All right, I'll let this play out then.
That's very big of you.
Thank you. Yeah. Dave, Dr. Dave Harmon, you approach... You approach... There are three
that
games.
That was terrible
in front of
you. To
see. There are three games. There is the little plastic lake where you can fish out a ducky.
Okay.
There is the one where you can throw a baseball and try and knock over some cans.
Yep.
And there's another one where you got to put the ping pong ball in the clown's mouth. But for some reason, all of the mouths are Friezo's, and as you pick up one of the balls, they're all like your own face. And it changes depending on who holds the balls. So which one do you want to do?
I want to do the ducky, please.
You don't want to feed your own face to your friend?
Don't want to feed my face to my friend's face.
All right. Okay. So, all right, roll it.
Dexterity.
Do you have any money on you?
I have a bag full of 13 gold pieces.
Uh-huh. Step right up. Fish a duck out of a pond.
You seem overeducated for this job.
Don't I just?
What'd you get?
I got I got a 17.
Ooh, okay. You win a prize. And it is... It is...
It is nowhere in the notes!
I know, I'm just
riffing. Little robot brain can't deal with this!
Here's what you get. You can either take the art critic... Or you can trade it all.
Inside Friso's, like inside Michael Hing's vault of a brain, there's a guy sitting as security counselor. He's like, he's off the grid. He's off the grid.
Here are prize options, Dr. Dave Harmon. You can either take the art critic or you can trade it all for what's in the box.
I can have the art critic.
Yep.
Like, as a, I can have a slave or I can have what's inside a small box.
I would like to point out...
Reginald, this... you work for me now.
Well...
And Reginald, take that box.
And he takes the box and he picks it up and he opens it and he hands you a plush Garfield.
Writing that down...
Meanwhile!
So, Simon, you spot three caravans. One clearly has a sigil on it, which you would notice is a Hollywood-style star, and it has the name Defnil Horror written on it. You would recognise that name from when Leonard explained to you the Sea Hag. But there are two other caravans. What are you writing down? Oh, you're writing Star Critic, yes.
What are you writing down?
There are two other caravans, which you can check out as well if you'd like.
All right. Well, no, I'm going to head straight to the Sea Hag. Hopefully she's out to get out of here.
All right, so you knock on the door. Or do you shake it? What do you do? You're going to climb it.
Shakes the door.
I don't shake a caravan. I'm here. Did you shake it? No?
Do you knock the door? Do you pour up against it? Do you lick it? I mean, the world's your oyster.
That's the thing about D&D. You can do whatever you want.
I press my butt cheeks against it.
Oh, okay.
It was a 20!
You rolled a 20 when you pressed your butt cheeks.
Who rolled a 20?
I was rolling for Simon.
Right.
So the vibrations of your butt cheeks come exactly with the pins of the lock on the door. Uh-huh. And the door tumbles open.
That's quite funny because there's been quite a few times on this show that Bobby's tried to pick doors with lock picks and failed.
All he needs to do is vibrate his own buttocks.
I'll just write that down.
You stumble in and you see this is like a dressing room.
I wouldn't stumble in. I would just say, like, first of all, I would say, hey, like the Fonz. That's a reference from the long time ago.
okay. And
no Fonzie humor. No.
And you you look around.
Henry Winkler. No. Okay.
You see,
he was on Parks and Rec.
You see, it's like a
he played Jenny Slate's dad.
You see, it's like a preparation trailer. There's sort of makeup and mirrors and beauty lights, and costumes and a kind of an aging set of bagpipes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What?
Are they like alive and they've like been alive for a long time?
Yeah. They are sentient bagpipes that age over time.
Yep.
And then you see at the far end of the trailer a smoky figure. With sort of a greenish tinge to her skin and hair that is matted and filled with eggs. I can say whatever I want. It's so good. And she turns around and looks at you.
And I don't actually physically knock, but I say, knock, knock.
All right. Well, to play that smoky figure, please welcome to the stage playing Daphnil Horror, the Sea Hag, Genevieve Frigga! So, welcome, Jen. Thank you so much for doing this.
That's all right.
Now, these guys have fucked around a little bit, so we do have to speed through the rest of this.
Yeah, imagine that.
Frankly, deeply upsetting.
Okay.
But, Jen, you and I talked and workshopped this character a little bit.
Yes.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about this character?
Well, she's a real crook.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sea hag.
Uh-huh.
And she loves the pipes.
Yes.
The bagpipes. That's about it.
So we also you notice that she does not have a red X on her forehead, a Are you coming back to the trailer, by the way?
When you tell me, I'll be back.
Okay, cool. Do you want to arrive now?
Sure.
Okay. I'm just keeping the party
Mommy!
Together.
Hello!
Oh, you found a slave too!
No, this is...
They're just giving them away.
So Daphnil tells you that she long ago was sort of involved with Friezo. And they committed themselves to each other in a magical ritual that Friezo took very seriously, but Daphnil, and this is Jen's words, thought they were just friends. So a portion of it, but because of the laws of the ceremony...
This is like Simon Pegg writing a Star Trek. Like, you you immediately write yourself a girlfriend.
Well,
that's a deep cut.
So a portion of her waits here in Friezo's mind, as does a portion of him in hers. But honestly, she's just let into him. But you said, Jen, that this you were going to store the worst parts of yourself in Friezo's mind. So you said you were very crook as a character. So
yep.
What are some crook things that Daphnil has done?
All right. So really handsy with a cousin.
Oh, no.
Wait, me?
No, this is the character.
That was
why,
a...
Why, Jen? I mean, were you...
No, I noticed it.
Jen is about to neck that bottle of wine.
That's yours.
Okay. No, yeah, the character.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I'd be embarrassing if it was a real...
really handsy with her cousin.
Real handsy.
Is that it or is there more? I mean, that's enough, but you can have more if you want.
I mean... once she fucked... I mean, she...
If this sentence ends in cousin, I'm gonna be upset.
She once saw two people fucking on a bin and didn't think...
That's not her fault.
Wait for it.
And she didn't think that anyone was gonna believe her, so she filmed it.
Again, is this that the is character or?
For you just inventing something about a fantasy character, that's definitely using the technology of the modern world as available to Jen Fricker.
And one time when this fantasy sea hag was on, let's call it a job, Triple J.
She punched a baby in the mouth.
All right, so you guys have the information that you think Daphnil can maybe help you out of here.
Yeah.
So I guess it's up to you to try and convince her to help you.
What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
Just chilling.
You smell good.
Yeah, you smell nasty.
Thank you.
And not nasty, you smell nasty.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Daph, remember me? I'm from the docks.
I am.
Remember one time you came by?
Yeah.
Had a fish from the docks?
Yep.
Filmed me having sex?
You owe me. That wasn't okay, but anyway, I'm kind of indentured. I'm a valet, in a way, to this guy here.
While they're doing this, can I take Bobby aside?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'm sort of having career opportunities.
That's cool.
Since you last saw me.
It looks like you've been crying a lot. What's up?
Doc.
You're a magic user too. At the buffet, I saw you change your face.
Yeah.
We need to find a way to charm this woman, get her to work with us.
Oh, woman. Yeah. Cool. I'll just quickly cast Charm Person.
Four.
Ooh. So does she have to roll?
That was
to
her saving throw?
No, that was your roll. She needs
a saving throw.
Oh, okay, so beat four. Roll the dice and beat four.
No, that's not how that...
Well, it is now.
Me? Am I rolling?
Yeah, roll okay. 3-sided dice and beat four.
Yeah, roll okay. this one.
Oh. No. What?
She's got a better chance than
roll this one.
What? Yeah. No, roll the 20-sided dice. Don't listen to the mean boys. Roll the dice and beat four.
I don't know what's going on.
Let's say this,
okay.
is a, this is a character. This is the Constitution.
All right.
That's none of those things.
Oh, shit.
That's a 20. You
roll the 20.
That is
I got
literally
a 20.
A 20.
Fuck, all right.
What do I do?
Doesn't matter what that is.
So Jen, what that means is you have resisted the spell Charm Person, and
okay.
you also know that these people just tried to magically charm you, which if I was you, I'd probably be quite offended by that.
Yeah. You know what I am? I am offended, actually.
Well if you pass the test.
Okay. Well,
well, is there something me and the doc do just to make people make sure people are like on the level that they're like real? Like,
don't involve me. I'm not with him. I'm with Reginald.
Hello.
And you see, this is what I'm up against. These kind of privileged fucks who have butlers just trailing around with them wherever they go.
Yeah. Do you remember one time at the Goog? When Anor Wintour.
You mean Anor Winter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With my story, I'm going to go. It's just a way of saying that I know her.
Oh.
These people are the fucking worst.
So you
know that he's trying to.
You've come into my house.
They've come into your trailer.
Into your preparation trailer.
And you're about to get ready for your big bagpipe show tonight.
I thought you just finished it.
Two shows
a night, baby.
Yeah, I've written down here.
People want this hag to blow. They want to see this hag fucking blow some pipes twice a night.
Or is it like you've been doing it for like a couple of weeks and then the festival's been like, hey, do you want to do like two a night? You do the ath or something?
She's like, yeah.
So this is you're about to go in for your second show of the evening.
Fuck yeah.
To your adoring bagpipe.
Yeah,
crowd.
I don't need people coming to my trailer, which, by the way, is a lot smaller than my usual one, but I just had to move into this one today because for a charity. I gave my big trailer to a charity.
Which charity?
It's called Sea Hag.
You're a Sea Hag.
Yeah, you're a Sea Hag. I'm a Sea Hag. You know what?
You're losing control again.
I'm just gonna. Oh, Bobby, do you have an offering for the game, or are you?
Yeah. Look.
Yeah.
I'm new here. All
right.
Okay. I just want to chat. If you have to go out and do your show,
uh-huh.
I'm happy to help.
Mm-hmm.
Goodwill aplenty.
You know what I need?
What do you need?
Real deep foot massage.
You can do it.
And yeah. I don't want you to break eye contact with me while you do it.
It would be.
This is gonna. What do you reckon? That's gonna be a strength check. Do you want to?
Well, there is
a performance. No, it's not a performance.
It is a performance.
Oh, so wait. It depends. Do you want like a physical massage or do you want something that's like
nobody would get anything out of a foot massage. It's just raw strength, right?
But see how hard you can break them.
Do you want them to really go in?
Roll
there?
Roll the dice to see how hard the massage
do you want,
is.
Do you want like an emotional connection during the foot massage?
Yeah, she just said you're not allowed to break eye contact.
Yeah.
So you want emotional?
No, just physical.
Okay, that's a strength check then.
Or is it physical charisma?
I mean, it's like a form of domination
right,
for me,
12,
obviously.
Big 12 with a strength check.
That's a 12 minus 1. 11.
11. So he rubs your feet and it's too weak. So what's your... Yeah, he just kind of like squeezes them but doesn't actually get in there.
This is fun. Have you never rubbed a hag's foot before? You use the natural slime and you work with the calluses, all right?
Oh.
It's like rubbing a half-empty right. water bottle.
This. Reginald, get in there. You're up.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And I cast Bless on Reginald.
Oh, okay.
What does Bless do?
It gives you a plus D4 to this foot massage.
So, roll.
I'm going to roll.
Yep. And then
that is a 3.
Plus a D20. Plus a D4.
Plus a
D4. It needs to be 12, though.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Plus 4?
Yeah, plus a 4.
So that's... You rolled a... Well... 7. What's his... Does he have the foot massage skill?
Yeah, I have plus 20, weirdly. According to the notes here, I have plus 20.
All right. I'll give it a go. We're forming a queue now. This only gets hotter, right? Presumably.
Yeah. This is sick.
That is a 8.
Is
that
a 9?
But I do have performance because of my exposition. Mm. So that is...
Yeah, you do.
That's plus 3.
That brings me to...
12.
Beats
it. All right.
He's doing great.
So on the third round...
Yeah, of foot rubbing.
Foot rubbing.
Uh-huh.
What's sorry? It was 8 plus 3. No, it was 9 plus 3. Dave read it wrong. Oh, was it 8? I thought it was a 9.
Don't make me come down there!
But I can bless up to 3 people, so I'll bless myself as well. And
bless
that
myself.
Brings me an extra 2.
And what is this show other than us blessing ourselves?
The trick is you got to hear the clicks. If you hear the clicks, you're doing it right. Mm. I understand.
All right. Yeah. No. Because you gave some. You showed actually that Dave Harmon, the real person, knows a bit about
also,
foot massages.
Also, John Nash in the audience there with you adding two numbers together. Bit of shush.
No, Dave. Because you, no, I'll allow the blessing because you showed real life knowledge of foot massages. Mm. Maybe the rest of you could have stepped up.
I have very weak thumbs in real life.
So I make unflinching, unblinking eye contact
with Daphne the Sea Hack.
Yeah.
And while that happens,
rub to
I am
completion.
Oi.
I sort of scope the room, see if there's any sort of cool info or okay, like clues yep. and stuff.
Mm.
That's a four.
Four.
Well, it's hard to miss.
But he's blessed too, because it's three people, so you get a little D4.
All right, lay it on me.
You get an extra four.
Hmm. All right. So you get.
It's 4 plus 4, 8!
It's a piece of shit.
See, Dave usually doesn't let me drink this much wine.
At this point, you see an orb at the in the middle of the room. It's sort of like a... Like a fortune telling orb, and it's as you gaze
fantasy's
into it.
Fantasy's hard, hey.
It's so difficult. And as you stare into it, Bobby, in it you see a frail and aging elf shackled to the floor, and from his eyes and mouth, white life force is streaming and collecting in a series of orbs, also encased in the sides of the walls. He bears no mark upon his head, and you realize that this is Cuck the Paladin.
Hmm. So he's having his life drained out into orbs.
Mm. Orbs are so useful.
Very useful.
Anything can be an orb. Anything. What do you want? You want a food orb?
A power orb?
A love
orb? Many ways, a food orb is just a Malteser.
Or an orange. So with sleight of hand, I'm just going to pocket that orb.
Okay. Roll a dice. Did you beat 10?
8 plus I have...
A lot of your dice 10. Rolls are 10, I'm noticing.
I'm giving him a fair chance.
It's a nice round number.
Yeah, I have plus 10 sleight of hand.
Plus 10?
Yeah.
You idiot!
Fuck!
He's a very tricksy boy.
He is. Damn it. All right, Daphne, you don't realize that he's stolen your orb.
But that's because she's so into the foot massage.
Yeah, she hasn't broken eye contact.
Nah.
Yeah, that's true. You're still staring at Reginald's
eyes. It's real good.
No, he's shamed.
Mm. No, I'm ghosting it. I'm behind Reginald.
You know it'd be nice for me, boys.
So she thinks it's Reginald?
Yeah. I figured
you've got expert double figures.
I figured bringing in a third person would be weird. So I'm just...
Like a theatre sports game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm doing all of this.
It's already happened once with the Sea Hag tonight, actually. It happened before the first show, too.
Oh.
And you know what? She found out something about herself.
And it was that she was racist.
Yeah.
Which was strange.
It was weird. The racist Sea Hag.
Well, so Daphne tells you that the only way out is to release.
So she's telling us about the orb she doesn't know was stolen.
Well, because she Bobby's pocketed this.
Oh, she's talking to Reginald.
Mm. Yeah, we're just talking to whoever's listening.
Oh, I mean, so I pretend to do Reginald's voice, and I'm like, so if we wanted
you gotta
to,
do, you got to make the mouth movements.
If we wanted, oh, sorry.
Oh.
If we wanted to leave, not that we would ever leave you, mm-mm, of course, mm-mm, but if we did, I suppose we would need some kind of. Paladin, I understand, also the Barker said.
Yeah.
So,
do you know where we could find someone like that?
Yeah. I do.
She tells you that he is kept in...
Also, I'm a moron.
She tells you that he's kept in the throne room of the White Dragon, Arterius. What? It's a cool name. I used a random generator.
Arterius.
Fantasy's so hard.
For there is no part of writing that cannot be solved by random maths.
Roll the dice. And she tells you that in order to get out of this place, you would need to rescue that paladin first.
Yeah.
But will the dragon friends, etc., etc., how will the dragon friends, blah, 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 blah. And I'm what is blah, blah, blah. How will this person ever do the thing, blah, 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 blah.
Hang on, no, can we get Dave to do it? Because we're probably... We're probably going to need it for the podcast. So can we please get Dave to do the story that he has basically been kidnapped to do? Can you wrap it up in as if you did this?
Organs grind as the organ grinder music plays inside a carnival gone mad with the fears and hollers of a desperate people cursed. Cursed to a death undying inside Carcosa's spell, now translated through the mind of a homicidal and incredibly friendless high elf whom nobody likes. Can the dragon friends make their way out? What of this paladin cuck? Trapped between orbs more powerful than those we've already seen. And who is this Daffanil? Is there more to her than meets the eye? She likes physical contact, it's true, but can you hold that against a woman who plays those wretched bagpipes? For the answers to questions such as this, tune into the next episode of Dragon Friends. Thank you! Let's hear it for our Dungeon Master, Michael Hing!
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Michael Hing, and Simon Greiner, and usually DM'd by Dave Harmon, with NPC voices by me, Ben Jenkins. Shakira Khan designs our website, and the episode was mixed by Beth McMullen and recorded at Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney. Music this episode was by Dan Scarrett, and our special guest was Jen Fricker. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.